Wednesday night, and you know what that means. Walter has undergone yet another name change. This is breaking news here. This is something that not everybody is aware of. Walter has undergone, at least according to Wikipedia, as of about an hour ago, Walter has undergone yet another name change. I want you to take a look at your screen right now. Walter, or Gunther, will now be going by the name Kenny Omega on the NXT brand. This according to Wikipedia. Boy, Jim Cornette's not going to know what to do with himself when he finds out about this. I mean, what's he going to do? Might be the only way to make him a Kenny Omega fan is to have Walter adopt the name. Anyway, this is your AEW Dynamite review. I don't know how these people get in there and they update these pages. It's ridiculous. This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, January 19, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. Dynamite tonight with the return of Jon Moxley. First time that we have seen him on television in 2 months. And we had Cody Rhodes with a promo that was all over the place. I'll have my thoughts on that. And 62-year-old Sting in the main event tonight doing dives off the stage. This guy is something else. Don't say that Sting doesn't go out there and put in as much effort as he possibly can. Don't just say that Sting goes out there and just does the bare minimum to collect the big paycheck that he gets. Sting's out there earning his keep, as he did tonight in that main event. Want to welcome you all and thank you for choosing me for your Dynamite coverage here on a Wednesday. Very special Wednesday, by the way, for those who may not be aware. It is not just an ordinary Wednesday. It is indeed the 30th anniversary of the 1992 Royal Rumble. And Ric Flair's very first WWF title win. I had a blast hanging out with some of our channel members earlier this afternoon for a live Rumble watch-along. It is now archived for your viewing pleasure. If you could not make it live, if you were at work, you couldn't be there to join us. It is up exclusively for channel members, and we will likely be doing more of these in the future. So now would be a great time to go ahead and sign up if you are not already a member. And by the way, for those who have, and I've had a few questions about this, this Sunday is the GCW, the world, on GCW pay-per-view, their debut at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City. I will be watching the show, and I will be going live on YouTube whenever the show is over on Sunday night to give you my review. First time I'm going to be doing a GCW review. Should be a fun time. Going to be very interesting. So if you got nothing else going on Sunday night, do come back here and hang out with me. I've added a bunch of super chats. They are in the description down below if you want to know the new dollar amounts. Hey, I expect to see at least a few 1992 ones tonight. I mean, come on. If not now, then when? I put that one up in celebration of the anniversary. So that is one of the many new ones that is up. And also, last but not least, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. I got to give a shout out to a very special listener of the show. If he's not in the chat, I'm sure he'll be watching this or listening to this later on. Andrew Lima, wherever you may be, Andrew Lima, I got to shout him out. He sent me one of the most interesting, coolest things that I have gotten in a very long time. This right here. This is handmade. This is a handmade, we make a good tag team, don't we, the New Heart Foundation? This is a handmade Bret Hart Sprite. Now, Bret Hart, I don't believe, was in the WrestleFest arcade game back in the early 90s that I used to play when I was younger. But he is now. So we got a Bret Hart Sprite from the old WrestleFest game. This thing, it's tall, too. This thing is big. I love it. I fucking love it. Me and Bret, we make a good combo here. So, Andrew, this is awesome. Thank you for this. One of the coolest things I have, man. That's awesome. So speaking of cool, the big attraction that was promoted for tonight's show was the return of former AEW World Champion, Jon Moxley. He was out first at the top of the show. And by the way, I don't know who it was on Twitter. I just responded to a little while ago. Somebody who didn't like the show tonight, which is fine if you didn't like Dynamite, but it was a little weird. They thought the show was boring, and they said they didn't even stick around long enough to see Jon Moxley's return. And all I could think is, tell me you watched the show when in reality you didn't watch the show. Because if you had given up and tapped out on the show before you got to see Jon Moxley, then you didn't watch the show. Because Jon Moxley was in the opening segment on tonight's show. So I don't see how it's possible that you could have watched the show and not have seen Jon Moxley. So I laughed at that. But anyway, Moxley was out first. He came out through the crowd to Wild Thing. Wasn't sure if maybe he would come out to his old AEW theme music, the kind of generic instrumental theme. I liked his old music. But he came out to Wild Thing and everybody went nuts for him. He looks great. He looks leaner than he looked. Last time we saw him on TV was in October. He looked a lot leaner. He's obviously lost some weight. He slimmed down a little bit. So I thought he looked good. And he got in the ring. Now, they were in a small building tonight. They were in D.C. And they were running a small building. They sold out. I think they were either sold out or near sold out tonight. A sellout in that building, though, for them, I think is just under 4,000. So it was a smaller building. But it was amazing because when Moxley went to go speak, the entire arena fell silent. So an arena that was making a lot of noise for him when he first came out went totally silent because they wanted to hear what this man had to say. Unfortunately, when he went to go speak and everybody was silent, there was somebody in the crowd that was heckling him. I could hear somebody chanting something. I don't know what it was. I went back. I tried to listen to it. I'm sure somebody who's in the crowd will send in some kind of report somewhere and will let people know exactly what he said that got under Mox's skin. Whatever it was, Moxley did not take very kindly to it. And the opening words of his promo, shout out to Rodimus Prime there for the Hardy Monster super chat. There you go. The opening words of this promo were... So what he said, go fuck yourself, get out of here, piece of shit. And somehow it got through unbleeped. There wasn't even an attempt. It wasn't even like, you know, in those old Raw shows where somebody would say you got 15,000 people calling you an asshole and the censor would be off by like 3 seconds. It just aired. I guess they don't do the 7 second delay, I guess, on TBS. They will now. They will after this show. So it's like, all I could think is, welcome back, Mox. His first words on TV since coming back is to tell somebody to go fuck themselves. I love it. I love it. It's my kind of guy. It's my kind of guy. So Moxley said that he had a dream about a black cloud hanging over him. It was this kind of demon that follows you around your entire life. For those who don't know, I should probably back up here for people who don't know why he was gone. I would think most people watching this probably know by now. But he checked himself into inpatient alcohol rehabilitation right before the Full Gear pay-per-view in November. So Moxley was going to go to Full Gear to wrestle Bryan Danielson in the finals. And he recognized that he had a problem. And it was serious enough that it couldn't wait until after the pay-per-view. Because it would have been very easy to just do the show. You know, maybe he was going to win. In fact, I think he was going to win. I think we were heading for a Moxley heel turn. He would have won. And it's very likely that he would have been the first person to challenge Hangman Page for the championship. So if he was aware of that and he knew, look, I can do the one match, but if I'm going to win, I'm going to go over, I'm not going to be able to do the program. So let me just get out of this right now. Wherever his head was at, he recognized, you know, he's got a baby at home. And good on him for recognizing that he was on a very dark path if he didn't do something to change it. So he took himself out of the game. Miro took his place at the pay-per-view. And we have not seen or heard from him since. And it was right around the time his new book came out. Maybe all the stress got to him, whatever it was. He was being very honest and very open here in this promo about what he was going through, talking about the black cloud, talking about demons. He said, nobody gets through life unscathed. We all carry scars. Sometimes we try to pretend those scars are not there. Those are the scars that give us strength. He said, nobody is perfect. And if everybody was perfect, then the world would be a very boring place. And he said, you should stand up. scars and all, and say that this is me. There are plenty of people willing to write me off, but I don't run from demons. I just beat the shit out of them. To everybody who supported me, thank you. In 2022, he said he's going to grab the world of wrestling by the balls and do what he wants. Now more than ever, I am truly free. Shout out to the Rabbit King, who just became a Sound Off superstar. I know he's going to be watching that Rumble watch-along from earlier. That's what he's going to be doing on his Thursday. Welcome, Rabbit King. He said he's been to hell. Moxley, not the Rabbit King. He's been to hell, and there's nobody in AEW who can put him through worse. He goes, I'm thirsty. These pretzels are making me thirsty. Says, I'm thirsty. If you thought I was dangerous before, these days all I drink is blood. So John Moxley is back, and John Moxley is doing a vampire gimmick here in AEW. I thought this was short, to the point. This was very good. And it's great to have Moxley back on TV. He's a big name who, you know, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. He's been gone for a couple of months. You know, now he's back. He's looking good. I said it looked like he was on his way to going heel, possibly him and Eddie Kingston both, before he went away. I don't know exactly what Tony Khan's long-term plan was, but he made it clear, Tony Khan did at the time. They had plans, and they were going to have to deviate from those plans, whatever those plans may have been. There was no indication in this promo of what his next feud was going to be. He didn't name drop anybody. Nobody came out to interrupt him or interfere, you know, in the segment. It would be very hard for me to imagine him going heel now. Even if that's the longer term plan, I don't think now would be the good time to be turning John Moxley when the crowd is so into him. Later in the show, Ethan Page was backstage with Scorpio Sky and Dan Lambert. And Ethan caught a promo on Moxley, challenged him to a match Friday night on Rampage. Apparently Rampage is going to be a live episode on Friday night. That match is official. So we do know his next opponent is going to be Ethan Page. But you know, these kinds of promos are some of the best. Real, authentic emotion. You know, you don't get too many promos like this because how many times do you have a top star who checks themselves, you know, into rehab, right? Usually they're being forced into rehab. I mean, it's unusual. It's unusual. And good on him for going to Tony Khan when it happened and saying, hey, I give you my blessing. I want you to put an announcement out and be honest with everybody and let everybody know why I'm gone. They didn't have to let anybody know where he was. It could have just been Mox is hurt or he's taking some time off. He'll be back in a little while. But he's like, no, it's fine. Let everybody know where I am. I have no, there's nothing to be ashamed of. And if anything, maybe people will find, you know, that him doing that, maybe it drives them to, you know, tackle their problems and not be ashamed of it. So these are the kind of promos I think that really resonate. Now, Moxley is going to defend his GCW championship. I mentioned the GCW show on Sunday night. One of the reasons I'm covering it is because we're going to get Jon Moxley defending his GCW world title against Hammerstone, Alex Hammerstone of MLW. No. He's defending it against Homicide at the Hammerstein on Sunday night. So I've been waiting. I said, look, I'd be very surprised if Tony Khan allows Jon Moxley to make his big return, his first appearance for another promotion on their pay-per-view. And sure enough, the final dynamite before the GCW show, Jon Moxley comes back. So I'm sure there's going to be plenty of blood for him to be drinking on the GCW show on Sunday. Hey, Katie, First Lady, thank you for becoming a Sound Off superstar. And Christina, I see Christina Karanwi just became a channel member as well. MJF and Wardlow were in the back. Wardlow standing behind MJF. MJF said last week was an embarrassment. It was an abomination. He must have been watching Raw. He accused CM Punk of holding Wardlow's hair and tights while pinning him in their match. MJF said if Wardlow had more seasoning, Perhaps then he would have known how to reverse the move and beat CM Punk. And the look on Wardlow's face was great. Like, he was reacting, these facial expressions, as MJF was talking and insulting him. And the story that Wardlow was telling just with his facial expressions alone was comical. But MJF pointed out the fact, he said he wanted to apologize to Wardlow because he lost his cool last week. And also, he didn't forget that today is Wardlow's birthday. And in fact, it is. Today, Wardlow turned 34 years old. In WWE, that would mean we can't do anything with this guy. He's too old. Based on their new edict. But Wardlow did turn 34 today. However, MJF said that Wardlow put his hands on him last week, and he's got no choice but to dock his pay. He said that he would raise his pay back up again if he qualifies for the Face of the Revolution ladder match, which I assume will be at Revolution, and wins the TNT title for him. MJF said that Sean Spears is going to show the world and Wardlow how to get the job done when he faces CM Punk later tonight. Welp, didn't exactly work out the way that he had hoped. We had Adam Cole and Britt Baker, a tag team on television for the very first time, taking on Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander. After a commercial, Statlander was running wild on Britt Baker, hit a blue thunderbomb for a near fall. Britt came back with some moves of her own, tagged in the guys, Cole hit an enziguri. Orange Cassidy came back with the Stundog Millionaire. So Britt got a blind tag and hit the curb stomp on Orange Cassidy. But Statlander came in and cut her off. Statlander went up top. She was going for the Area 451 splash. Adam Cole, in a bid to protect and save his girlfriend, I almost said wife, but they're not married, not yet. He hasn't put a ring on it yet, although I don't know what he's waiting for. But he laid across Britt Baker to protect her. Statlander said, well, the hell with this. And she hit the Area 451 anyway. A picture-perfect 450 splash by Chris Statlander right across the back of Adam Cole. Orange Cassidy hit the beach break on Cole for a very close near fall. So Cassidy wanted the orange punch. Cole rolled out onto the ramp. Again, small building, so you didn't have this long aisle wait. In a lot of ways, it was like Daly's Place. You know, Daly's Place, they had the entrance tunnel and the stage and then a very, very short ramp. Same exact setup for this show. That's how small this building was. Cole rolled out onto that ramp, and as Orange Cassidy came soaring over the top rope for a dive, Cole caught him with a super kick. So Cole props himself up on the middle rope on the outside. So he's up on the apron, he climbs up, he's sitting on the top rope, and he's getting ready to hit a Panama Sunrise, and he's teasing it, and they zoom in on his face, and he's teasing it, he's just waiting for the right moment, and Statlander pushes Orange Cassidy into the ring to make the save. Britt Baker blindsides her with a super kick, and Britt Baker hits a standing destroyer of her own to Chris Statlander and spikes her head first down onto the ramp. Back in the ring, Adam Cole hits the Panama Sunrise, a devastating-looking Panama Sunrise to Orange Cassidy. Devastating enough that I was hoping. I knew better. I'm hoping, I'm saying, please let this be the finish of this match. That move looked awesome. Nobody should be kicking out of a Panama Sunrise like that. Stupid me. I should know better. Orange Cassidy kicked out. That angered me. Not going to lie. That angered me. But I did love the camera work because Cole was shocked after Cassidy kicked out. Cole is laying on the mat in the ring incredulously. Like, he can't understand that this guy just kicked out. He looks at Britt Baker, who is laying, looking at him, on the ramp. And the camera work here was fantastic because the camera kept cutting back and forth between Cole's shocked expression, Britt Baker's shocked expression. She was mouthing like, what the fuck? You know, what do we have to do to beat this guy? So I did think that the camera work was very cool, but I hate that he kicked out of that move. Cole and Baker set up a timekeeper's table, or the timekeeper's table, or a table, whatever table it was. There were a few tables that ended up getting broken tonight. They set the table up at ringside. Inside, Cassidy went for the orange punch. Cole moved out of the way. Cassidy almost decked Britt Baker with the punch. Now, he held up, but his momentum carried him into Britt Baker, and he knocked her inadvertently off the apron. She fell backwards and took a bump through the table. Thankfully, the table broke. You know, some of these women are tiny, and they land on these tables. Unless it's from a great height, you know, sometimes those tables don't break. This table broke. And he looked apologetic. Cole is behind him in the ring, and he's seething. He is seething, this guy is. He's very angry about what this guy just did to his girlfriend. And he gave Cassidy a low blow. He pulled down the knee pad. He hit the boom, lowered the boom to the back of the head, and he got the win. I thought this match was a lot of fun. It was fun seeing Cole and Britt Baker as partners for the first time. On TV together, and they had to win here. I mean, their first time together as a tag team, how could they lose? So they did win this match. And I will say again, Baker and Statlander, good chemistry. They work well together, going back to their match at All Out. Since we didn't get Britt Baker and Lita, we got Britt Baker and Chris Statlander back in September. They had a great match that night, and I thought they worked together well again here in this match. Alex Marvez was in the back with Chris Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz. They did mention that Eddie Kingston was injured last week by 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. I don't know the nature of the injury. I don't know how the injury really happened, or maybe it did happen in this angle. But Eddie Kingston is hurt. He was actually supposed to be on the GCW show this Sunday. He has been removed from the lineup. I had read something somewhere about orbital bone. I don't know if that's legit. I haven't seen it reported anywhere exactly what the injury is. That would be a serious injury, but maybe it's something that'll keep him out for a few weeks. But anyway, he's hurt. And Jericho said, look, I don't care about Eddie Kingston. And Ortiz stopped him and said, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We do care about Eddie Kingston. So you might want to pump the brakes there and be careful what you say. And Santana spoke up and he said, you know, we were thinking about last week and something I think that Kingston had said. And there might be some truth in that the reason that we are not tag team champions is because you've held us back. Maybe you are the reason why Santana and Ortiz have not yet been the AEW tag team champions. They're finally waking up to this fact. And Jericho couldn't believe what he was hearing. And Santana said next week, we're going to be having a match against Garcia in 2.0. He said next week, maybe we're going to worry more about ourselves than us as the collective unit. You feel me? And he walked off. And Jericho said, no, I don't feel you. I don't feel anything except gas from all the bubbly, all the Grey Goose in his gut. Backstage, a very angry Adam Cole challenged Orange Cassidy to an anything goes, no disqualification, lights out match on Dynamite next Wednesday. That's the big Beach Break show in Cleveland. Will Johnny Gargano make an appearance? You know, he's the Cleveland guy. I don't know if his father still owns that, isn't it like a pizza place or something? I think his father runs in Cleveland, I believe. A lot of rumors about Johnny Gargano and, you know, where he's going to end up, when he's going to appear somewhere. You know, he's got a baby on the way. Would not be surprised to see him at least make an appearance in Cleveland next week. I'm not saying it's going to have anything to do with Cole and Orange Cassidy, but that is going to be something I think a lot of people will be talking about going into next Wednesday's show. And Cole threatened to end his career in their lights out match next week. The last lights out match that we had in AEW was almost a year ago. Involving who else? Britt Baker. Her match with Thunder Rosa, which I had on my top 15 as one of the best matches of 2021. Here's a match that will not be on the list of the best matches of 2022. We had CM Punk one-on-one against Shawn Spears. MJF came out before the match started to join the announcers. Poor Jim Ross. I forgot to mention this, but from the moment the show started tonight until the closing moments when he signed off, something was wrong with Jim Ross. Last few weeks, his voice has been very, very weak. And I don't know if that's a product of the radiation treatment that he wrapped up a few weeks ago. You know, I know that kind of thing, I'm sure, takes a lot out of you. But his voice is just, it's so weak and raspy. And it's almost like he's struggling to, you know, kind of keep it strong and keep it up. I don't know. It's just, it's become very noticeable. I thought maybe it was like a 1 week thing, but this is like the third week in a row now that he has sounded not well. So hopefully he's doing okay. Punk hit an immediate GTS. There was no beating around the bush here in this match. He hit an immediate GTS to Sean Spears, and he pinned this fucker 1-2-3 right in the middle of the ring. The way it should be. This played out exactly the way that it should have played out. Punk having an issue with Wardlow makes a lot of sense because Wardlow is stronger than him. Wardlow is younger than him. Wardlow is bigger than him. Wardlow beat the fuck out of him last week. Wardlow had that match won, were it not for MJF. Here, there's no reason that CM Punk should be going any length of time with Sean Spears because we've been conditioned to think that Sean Spears is a nobody on these shows. He's an underling. Good wrestler. But there was no reason for CM Punk to go longer than 10 seconds with Sean Spears. So good. This went exactly as long as it should have. As Punk was posing, MJF snuck into the ring. Punk turned around, though, and saw him. And he grabbed him by the scarf, reared back to hit him, but MJF escaped unscathed. And so he lives to fight another day. Does MJF. Maz says that JR has been in a lot of pain lately as per his tweets. I'm assuming it has to do with the treatment. Again, I know he loves being at the commentary desk. And I know that he wanted to come back as soon as possible. He came back the same day he had his last treatment. But, you know, maybe it would be smart to take more time off. You know, he's got a spot waiting for him whenever he's ready to come back. It's not like he's going to lose his gig if he wants it. I thought Excalibur and Shivani and Taz were holding up the show just fine. And so if he's hurting or his voice is not back to where it needs to be, then again, maybe he should step aside and take some more time off. And when he is well rested and has his, you know, his energy back and is feeling better, he can come back. I thought that they handle things perfectly fine in his absence. So I would hate to think that he kind of rushed himself back and now this fucker is suffering because he feels he has to be there. He doesn't have to be there. They have enough announcers to hold down the fort until he feels better. If that's true, I'm taking your word for it. I haven't seen his recent tweets, but you know, the guy's 70 something years old. You got to take care of yourself. You can't run yourself into the ground. Excalibur said that Billy Gunn had commandeered a television camera and he was backstage and they showed him greeting Christian Cage as Christian arrived at the building and he made the pitch to Christian for his sons, the Gunn kids, to get the next shot at Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus and their AEW tag team titles. And Christian said, look, I know your sons, Austin and Colton, they're very talented. Told Billy, you got to have your boys make a statement. They have to get a statement win. Let them do that first, and then we'll talk. And as soon as he said that, what happens? Christian gets attacked from behind. And he gets attacked from behind by the Gunn boys. Austin looks down and says, statement made. So we are heading for the Gunn Club, challenging the Dinosaur and Jungle Boy soon for their tag team titles. They were not on the show tonight. And then we have the TNT champion, Cody Rhodes, back after missing all of this time that we had to crown an interim TNT champion. Cody missed so much time. My God, I mean, the guy, he showed up tonight. He had a second neck tattoo. He's got a beard now. He looks like Santa Claus. He's been gone for so long. He missed 1 week. It looked exactly the same. And Cody came out, and they cut to a picture-in-picture. During which he set up a gigantic ladder during the commercial break in the middle of the ring. This ladder, I mean, was 12 to 15 feet tall. And he sets this thing up in the middle of the ring. Jeremiah Weigel just became a sound-off superstar. What is going on, Jeremiah? We're going biblical here on this stream tonight. So Cody sets the ladder up. That right there gave you a hint of where they were going with him and Sammy Guevara, but it would take Cody a while to get there. He didn't even mention Sammy Guevara until we were deep into this promo. So Cody begins to speak, and there are Royal Rumble chants in the crowd. And I want to address this here because I have not had a chance to talk about this. Of course, this, as everything seems to, once the podcast dropped, then we had breaking news. And it was this news, Fightful reported on Monday that Cody Rhodes was working, or at least was. We don't know if maybe he signed something since then. But he was working without a contract. His AEW contract had expired. He was working without a contract. Now, if it were anybody else other than Cody Rhodes, that would be a major story because this guy is one of the top stars in the company. He has one of their championships, right? He's the TNT champion. But Cody Rhodes is one of the founding fathers of this company. He is an EVP in the company. His wife works for the company. His brother works for the company. He's got students of his from the Nightmare Factory and all that who are training with and working with the company. He's got a reality show. He's actually got two shows. He's got a reality show. He's got the game show, one with TNT, one with TBS. So he's got the relationship with Turner Network. And you know that a big part of Roads to the Top is all the backstage footage from AEW that they air. So you hear that and you realize that and you would think, why are people going on social media wondering if Cody Rhodes is going to go to WWE or Cody Rhodes is going to make a cameo in the Royal Rumble? I have heard some of the stupidest things this week from people on social media. I knew social media was a pretty dumb place to begin with, but the level of brain damage that I have seen in the last few days from this Walter shit and the tweet that I put up about the whole Walter situation to the stuff about Cody. I saw some people saying Moxley is going to be in the Royal Rumble. I mean, where is this coming from? There was never any chance of any of this happening. Cody is not going anywhere. There is nobody from AEW who is going to be in the Royal Rumble. There is nobody from AEW who is going to be in the same city as the Royal Rumble. There were people saying, oh, Cody's going to, you know, he's going to be in the Rumble. He's going to show up. He's got no contract. He's going to leave AEW. He's going to take the title with him. Are you for real? What is wrong with you? It's like all these people, you know, when I put the tweet up about the whole Walter thing, when they found out about the trademark application, we didn't know if that was going to be for a new star that was coming into the company or somebody else they were going to rename who's not been on television. Little did we know. Later that night, we would find out exactly who it was for, but they put the trademark application in for the first name and the last name of someone who a simple Google search turned up was a Nazi lieutenant back in the day, a U-boat commander. You know, U-boats were something that were used in the First and the Second World War, you know, by Germany. First name, last name of this Nazi commander. It took someone, I forgot, I don't remember who it was, one person, it took them 2 seconds to look up the full name and find out that that's one of the first things that comes up. And I put a tweet up, and you would be amazed at all of the responses that I got from the e-drones, who, of course, will defend to the death anything that company does. I mean, you would think that they were getting a paycheck from this company. Vince is putting fucking Bitcoin in their account. So the e-drones came out, and oh my God, they were saying, oh, are you saying that the name Gunther is a Nazi name? Do you realize there are so many people named Gunther in the world? That's so offensive. Didn't you watch Friends? No, actually, I didn't. Everyone's telling me about a barista from Friends. I don't watch fucking Friends. How the fuck am I supposed to know about the barista from Friends? What, does everybody watch Friends? I'm a Seinfeld guy. I don't watch Friends. Don't have them, don't need them, don't watch them. They're talking about, like, the name, people are dunking on the name Gunther. It's not the name Gunther, you fucking idiots. We're talking about the trademark application. We're talking about the first name and the last name. But they hear, you know, these people have tunnel vision. They hear one thing and they just jump to conclusions and they say, oh my goodness, dunking on people who were named Gunther. I've seen a lot of dumb shit on social media this week. I mean, my brain hurts just thinking about it. It is unbelievable the level of idiocy that I have seen online. And I know a lot of you in the chat have seen the same thing. It's scary. These people are dumb. I mean, these people are dumb. They are dumber than dirt. And I apologize to dirt. Holy shit. Anyway. Little detour there. Cody talked about the famous CM Punk pipe bomb promo that he cut. I guess at this point it would be over a decade ago now. He talked about the pipe bomb promo and how revolutionary that promo was at that time. And then he said that he led that revolution. He got very animated. Like he was getting very upset, right? He said he led that revolution. He goes, you know why I don't turn heel or why I won't turn heel? Because the fans cheered me when I needed it the most. We are the royal family that he refers to. And his theme song, when you hear the theme music, go, you know, wrestling's royal family. In my eye. Loose cannon with a tear in my eye, the 1992 Super Chat. Thank you. Thank you, sir. He said, people talk about the forbidden door. He goes, if you're a wrestling journalist and you disagree with anything that I'm saying, he said that you are not a real journalist. Because before there was the forbidden door, I was the one who built it. He says, you know, I'm gone for 2 weeks. He sees it. Young Bucks almost started the Wednesday Night Wars all over again, but he doesn't need to see the Bucks beating developmental again, which was a dig at Red Dragon. He goes, Ricky Starks is over here dealing now with Jay Lethal, and he put over Jay Lethal and said, Lethal's the one guy who has a cutter where if he hits you with it, that lethal injection, you ain't getting up from it. Nobody kicks out of that. Talked about Malachi Black, how talented he is, a guy who gave him two losses, and we know how much he hates losing, he said. Malachi Black, a man who needed no help, and then ended up getting help anyway. And he says he knows that they're not in the business of renaming people. And he took a dig at WWE renaming Walter as Gunther, although he didn't say that, but he took a dig. He said, I know we're not in the business of renaming people like Gunner McGilligutty or whatever his name is. People popped. I'll allow it. I'm going to allow that dig simply because they deserve to be shamed for it. They deserve to be mocked for that. But he said Brody King, the help that Malachi brought in that he was referring to, he said Brody King's got balls simply coming in and calling himself Brody. Finally, he turned his attention to Sammy Guevara, which was the whole point of this promo. The only person he needed to address was the interim TNT champion, Sammy Guevara. Some people think that this title is secondary. It's a secondary title because the word world isn't in it. The only reason it's secondary now is because there's two of them. And he started climbing the ladder. He said, it's pretty clear what we do here in this situation. He said he knows that Tony Khan has sent a contract in the mail to both of them, not the one that Cody wanted. Ha-ha! Playing off the contract story. But at this point, beach break, two titles, one champion. What do you say? So, this was quite the promo. He managed to mention the CM Punk pipe bomb. He mentioned the Forbidden Door. He mentioned Jay Lethal. He mentioned Malachi Black. He mentioned Brody King. He mentioned Walter, kind of. And then finally brought it back around to Sammy Guevara and the TNT title. I liked him. And I thought that it was a mixed bag here. I liked the fact that he put over people like Lethal and Malachi. He was putting them over, which is good. Talking about how, you know, the cutter that Jay Lethal uses is devastating and nobody kicks out of it. And Malachi Black's a talented guy, didn't need any help, but brought some in anyway. Of course, it's one thing to put over Jay Lethal in a promo. The best way to put over Jay Lethal is to put him on TV. And not just on Rampage or on Dark. So they got to start getting him more TV appearances on Dynamite. So I like that aspect of it, but I could have done without, and you could probably guess what my least favorite part of this promo was, him talking about turning heel. Now, many years ago on TV, John Cena made a cute little dig. Because for years, everybody wanted him to turn heel. And he said turn heel, but like he literally turned his heel. It was like, yeah, a little play on words. And even that kind of was like, eh, kind of made me roll my eyes. But him being in the middle of the ring for a wrestling promo and talking about the reason I won't turn heel, you know, do we really need that? Do we really need guys standing in the middle of the ring going, I'm a babyface, I'm a heel, I won't turn heel, or whatever. I mean, yes, we know what the term means. We know it gets thrown around a lot online and in newsletters and on websites and in chats, you know, and Facebook posts and tweets. It's another thing to be lost in a promo or watching the show and trying to get lost in what you're seeing in the show. And having somebody standing in the ring talking about the reason I turned heel, the reason I won't turn heel, I think it's stupid. I don't like that. I think it's dumb. So I didn't like that part. And I also thought that, you know, some of this stuff in the middle of the promo where he was talking about, you know, I don't know, it's just very self-indulgent. Very self-indulgent. And one of the reasons why I think a lot of people also kind of resent him and don't like him And I think the Cody hate is out of control. I think it's way over the top, you know, when you hear about all the hate that this guy gets. But I don't know. He came off as a little too self-indulgent, I thought, in this promo. Just kind of mentioning things for the sake of mentioning them when they really just didn't have any relevance to this promo. Now, and again, it took forever to get to the whole point, which was talking about the fact that we now have two TNT champions here. This guy left for a week or two, and now he's back, and we have Sammy Guevara has an interim TNT belt. He beat, you know, Cody's brother in that match, Battle of the Belts. I mean, there should have been, I think, more of an emphasis or a discussion about that than some of this other stuff about, you know, talking about the Bucks. And you know what he kind of reminded me of here? He reminded me of these John Cena promos that I always fucking hated, where John Cena would come out and it was almost like he was the narrator of the show. Instead of just coming out and talking about his own program or his own feud or whatever was going on with him, he would come out there and they would have him talking about everything else that was going on the show. And I always thought that was so lame and that was so, I don't know, just so goofy. That's kind of what I felt like he was doing here in this segment. You know, trying to be John Cena or something. And I don't think that he needs to be doing that. I think, you know, I can understand why people will listen to a Cody promo sometimes and feel like he's being overly self-indulgent. I think we got a little bit of that here. But it was effective in that by the end of it, I felt like he had won over some of the crowd, you know, because he got a lot of boos early. But I feel like by the time it was over, he did win some of the fans anyway in the building over it. It sounded like to me. I also think it's a good idea for them to do the whole Shawn Razor angle next week at Beach Break. You know, you've got two champions. And you're going to have two titles hanging above the ring, unification. The winner will be the sole TNT champion. So they're doing the whole Shawn Razor thing from WrestleMania 10. Of course, Shawn was gone for several months. Cody was gone for, you know, barely 2 weeks. So it's not exactly the same thing. But I do think if you were going to have this interim champion deal, that's the way to go. You know, you get a big gimmick match out of it on TV, try to pop a number. I think it's going to be, I worry that one or both of them are going to kill themselves because you know Sammy's going to want to do some kind of a fucking dive from the top of that ladder, like the tippy top of that ladder. And I just hope nobody gets hurt next week, but it should be a fun match to watch. Tony Schiavone was backstage with Jade Cargill and Mark Sterling. Anna Jay was there as well with John Silver of the Dark Order. And Anna accepted Jade's open challenge. Jade has this open challenge. Everyone's got an open challenge. Everyone has an open. It doesn't matter. WWE, AEW, US title, TNT title, You know, the Usos, right? They had some kind of open challenge thing going there for a while. So everyone's got an open challenge. And Anna Jay has accepted Jade's for the TBS title. Mark Sterling was kind of dismissing Anna Jay. Shout out to Corey. Corey Delcor with the Undertaker 420. Look how mellow he looks. Undertaker enjoying his retirement there in that super chat. So he was kind of dismissing Anna Jay as if she, you know, wasn't worthy of contending for this championship, which hasn't even been defended yet, by the way. John Silver hyped her up a little bit, and then Anna Jay said, look, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I wrap barbed wire around my hand to win a match and to do whatever it takes to win. Making reference to the gory self-mutilation that Vince McMahon hates so much from that New Year's Eve match that they had on Rampage. She said that she'll do whatever it takes to win. And Jade held up the TBS title and told us what it stands for. The TBS title apparently stands for That Bitch Show. So there you go. Now we know what it stands for. We had the Kings of the Black Throne, Malakai Black and Brody King, PWG Tag Team Champions, now together in an AEW ring against the Varsity Blondes. This was Brody King's in-ring debut in AEW, his very first match. Black and King have their own music, and it's not bad. At first, I was like, oh, God, they did away with that great entrance. I've talked about how Malakai Black had the best entrance in all of wrestling, and they've gone and they've changed it. What have they done? That Augentroost song is fucking perfect for this guy, and I don't know what the song is they came out to here. But then if what they're doing here is they have a distinctly different entrance as a tag team, maybe that's even Brody King's music, if he's going to have music of his own. But then when Malakai wrestles singles matches, he has his music and his entrance. Then I'm okay with it. Then it's kind of cool that he has two separate entrances. My fear is that they've thrown these two together in a tag team, and we're not going to see Malakai doing singles matches for a while. That would be a huge mistake. Malakai Black is a special talent in this company, and the entrance is a big part of it. But, you know, he was well on his way to bigger things, whether it's the TNT title or eventually challenging for the AEW title later in the year. I don't want him to just be thrown into a tag team and not be, you know, also focusing on the single stuff that he was doing. So I hope that that's not the case. I hope that that's not the case. Brian Pillman hesitated early on. He went for the Air Pillman springboard. Same move that he botched when he had his match with Malakai. And I like that they kind of made it part of the story here. He was like second-guessing himself. He went to do it, and then he thought better of it. And he went outside the ring, and he was pacing back and forth. Griff Garrison went over to him and, you know, trying to talk to him. What's going on here? Brody King came charging around the ring and tackled, actually knocked Garrison headfirst into the ring steps, took him down. So the heels isolated Pillman in the ring, and Black and King won with their Dante's Inferno finish. So this was quick. Thanks for coming, Blondes. After the match, we got a pack video package. A pack package aired on the big screen, and it was addressing Malakai Black, so they gave us a split screen. And on the one hand, we saw the video, and on the other side of the screen, we saw Malakai watching the video that we're watching and reacting to it. Pac said that he's got a new vision. He truly sees Malakai Black. He's just the same as every other cretin in AEW, or I think cretin, as he called him. Self-obsessed and power-hungry. Welcome to the wrestling business. He may have a few spells up his sleeves, but the bastard is beyond even your reach. He is incorruptible. This is the moment that Pac is expected to bow down and call him master, but Pac will make a martyr out of Black. I thought the video was very cool. Very cool video. And looking forward to the match as well. Brandon Cutler was in the back. He was trying to set up his Cutler cam, as they called it, for an interview with the Young Bucks, but instead he got Rocky Romero and Trent Barretta. I don't know where Chuck was, but Rocky Romero and Trent Barretta reunited here. And Romero said that the best friends were tired of losing to the Elite, but then he remembered all those times that Roppongi Vice beat the Young Bucks, and he challenged the Bucks to a match on Rampage on Friday. later in the show, when they were running down the preview for Rampage and they talked about this match, they aired footage from New Japan. Rocky Romero, he is the bridge between these two companies. He's the one who has gotten permission for this type of thing before. So it was very cool to see all the New Japan footage of all the matches that these two teams have had before. And they're going to meet again on Friday. Jake the Snake Roberts, I've mentioned his name in recent weeks because he's been MIA from television. I said that he had gotten COVID recently. Jake has a new podcast, a video podcast, the DDP Snake Pit, with him and Jake being, you know, interviewed by Conrad Thompson. Who else, right? I mean, of course, every fucking podcast is with Conrad. I checked out the first episode. It was very cool. And it's just them sitting at a table in DDP, what looks like his performance center down there in Smyrna, Georgia, telling stories. And I think the second episode just dropped. I haven't watched it yet, but I think it addresses Jake's stint in WCW. So Jake is back. Jake was back on TV here. He was in the corner of Lance Archer, as was Dan Lambert. So we have seen Lambert and Archer at odds in the past, and now Lambert appears to be, at least temporarily, with Archer. So Archer came out with not one but two managers on this show for a match against Frankie Kazarian. This went way longer than it had to. They gave these guys 10 minutes. This didn't even need to go the full five. This went way too long, especially because Frankie Kazarian got almost no offense in this match. So this was like an extended squash for Lance Archer. If it was going to be more competitive, I can understand it. Kazarian at one point was kind of looked at as not a top guy, but maybe like upper mid-card guy. His value has sunk very, very low ever since he started this whole elite hunter nonsense. Please, if there's going to be an elite hunter, it's going to be Mr. Helmsley. It's not going to be Mr. Kazarian. I never thought I would say that, but it's still very unlikely. But there's a better chance of seeing that than Frankie Kazarian getting over with any kind of a main event push here in this company. There was no reason for this match to go as long as it did. Archer attacked before the bell, was just beating on this guy all throughout the commercial. Kazarian eventually countered the blackout attempt and hit a missile dropkick. Archer came back with a choke slam and a black hole slam and then hit the blackout for the win. Shout out to CJ Rocks in the chat who says, smash that like button. And Austin says, why did Dan Lambert talk about groping cows? Hey, what he does in his spare time is his business. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what Dan Lambert does with his cows in his spare time. So after the match, Tony Schiavone was asking about the relationship between Archer and Dan Lambert. Lambert started talking and he was addressing Hangman Page. Archer cut him off, said he was tired of the bullshit. And he was about to chokeslam Kazarian onto a chair on the ramp when Hangman Page came out and made the save. He saved this man's life. And he went face to face with Archer and he slapped the taste right out of his mouth. And Archer smacked him back, so they were exchanging strikes. Page went for the buckshot lariat. Once he got Archer backed into the ring, he went for the buckshot lariat. Archer, though, guzzled him. He grabbed him by the throat when he propelled himself into the ring. But Hangman broke free, hit some rolling forearms, clotheslined him out to the floor to end the segment. So this was fine as they continued to build for a championship match. But I have to say, you know, you got to be careful here if you're Tony Khan with Hangman Page, because this does not feel, you know, this guy's your world champion. You know, putting him in the ring with Bryan Danielson was huge for him. He had those two great matches, and we haven't seen Danielson since. He's I guess, taken some time off, some well-deserved time off after those two matches. But now him and Archer in this segment, which was kind of like in the middle of the second hour, this does not feel like a main event world title feud, which is the reason why last week I said this can't be the match, or certainly not the main event at Revolution. If there's another match going on last at Revolution in March, maybe it's the women, then fine. But this is not a big, big main event. This doesn't feel like a big-time main event. But you don't want Hangman Page to fall into this trap where he becomes one of these champions who he's the champion, but he's not the top guy. You want him to be your top guy. He doesn't feel like it, or at least he didn't tonight. He didn't feel like it. He did when he was doing the stuff with Danielson, but tonight it was almost like, oh boy, like Punk feels like a bigger deal. The Punk MJF feud feels like a much bigger deal than what Hangman Page is doing. And it's kind of funny, when Punk was the WWE champion in 2012, he was in the same boat. He was feuding with Chris Jericho. They were playing second fiddle to The Rock and John Cena heading into WrestleMania. Even coming out of WrestleMania, John Cena was feuding with fucking John Laurinaitis. That was the main event on one of the pay-per-views, and they put Punk on somewhere, I think, in the middle of the card, I think, against Daniel Bryan. You don't want Hangman Page to end up. He's the world champion. You don't want him to end up as a secondary champion. Even Cody and the TNT title on this show felt like a bigger deal than Hangman Page did. So they have to be careful that this does not become a trend here. And as far as putting Lambert with Archer, I have to assume this is just a temporary thing. If it's not, there's no need for Archer to have Jake Roberts and Dan Lambert. So I don't know if this is a way to phase Jake out and just put Lambert with Archer. I know Jake signed a new contract not that many months ago for another year or two with AEW, so he's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. But I do wonder if maybe that's the plan, is to kind of phase him out of the picture and go with Lambert. He doesn't need two people representing him or coming out to the ring with him. Shivani was in the back interviewing... No cap, I have to say, I just glanced at one of your messages in the chat, and I just looked at it really quick, and I was a little drawn back. He said, put the strap on MJF. I looked at that as put the strap on MJF. I'm like, what the fuck is going on in this chat? I read that way too quickly. I don't know what show you're watching. Shivani was in the back interviewing Layla Hirsch, Chris Statlander, and Red Velvet. Hirsch accused Statlander of costing them the match on their match on Rampage and costing her and Velvet thousands of dollars. Red Velvet tried to stick up for Statlander and said, look, things happen. And Hirsch hit Velvet. And when Statlander stepped in to check on Red Velvet, Layla attacked her and put a cross arm breaker on her to end the segment. Serena Deeb against Sky Blue. This was just pure domination for Serena Deeb. I mean, this went a little over 2 minutes. Serena put Blue down with the Deeb Tox and then slammed her knee into the mat repeatedly over and over again, smashed her knee into the mat, and applied the Serenity Lock for the quick win. So, dominance for Serena Deeb. She is quite great. We had Andrade El Idolo and the Hardy Family Office. This is one of my least favorite parts of these shows. Sometimes these Andrade promos, because of the way he just pronounces things, you know, it ends up being unintentionally funny. But this stuff with the Hardy Family Office, with their partnership with Andrade, who cares? Who cares about this? Does anybody really care about this stuff? You know, Matt Hardy was here. He said that they've reached an agreement. They've reached a deal. And they have reached a deal. He has sold Andrade 51% of the Hardy Family. I wouldn't buy any percentage of the Hardy Family Office. 51% of the Hardy Family Office. However, the Hardy Family Office will still hold the majority of the board seats, and Hardy will be the CEO, and Andrade is the new president. And from now on, instead of the HFO, they are now the AHFO. And Andrade said that he's still looking for that little boy, Darby Allin. This has got to be like the worst. Like, I saw the Butcher in the back. I think the Blade was there too, I think. But I saw the Butcher standing in the back, and he's just, that poor guy. He's just standing there. He knows he's got nothing. He's got nothing going on, you know. He's just sort of like, just end this already. just end this already. Private Party is just being wasted away. Like, does anybody really care about any of this stuff? What is it doing for anybody? By the way, I saw that the Butcher who is part of a band, and the name just popped out of my head, but I know some of you will know, the band that he's a part of just broke up. I saw that the Butcher's band broke up. I guess there's some kind of issue with the lead singer. This guy has just gone off the deep end with all kinds of issues and conspiracy theories and stuff, and I guess they just didn't want to put up with his shit anymore, and they said, look, they always said that they're not going to bring in new members to replace members, and if anybody ever left, that would be the end of the band. They put like a statement out without that guy. It was like a statement with the other four guys, and I guess they're not together anymore. So I guess that'll give him more time to be on the road and sit in catering at the AEW shows, doing not much of anything, I guess. Every Time I Die, yes, thank you. Thank you, Beowulf. That is the name of the band. Every Time I Die is dead. Every Time I Die is no more. Because apparently their lead singer is a crazy man. Main event was Sting and speaking of crazy men, we had Sting, 62-year-old Sting. And Darby Allin against the Acclaimed. And what they said was Sting's first match on TBS in 21 years. I don't think Sting was doing the kind of stuff in those matches 21 years ago that he was doing at the end of this match here tonight. The Acclaimed aired a parody video. You know, those black and white videos that Darby and Sting usually have for some of their entrances. They did their own parody black and white video mocking them where Bowens was, he was like a skater boy. He was the Darby. And Caster was, actually Caster was just himself. They had some other guy, some random guy, dressed up as Sting driving a car, and he accidentally ran down Bowens. And then Caster came up behind fake Sting when fake Sting got out to check on Bowens. And Caster hit him with a bat. Whatever. This was not any more funny than it sounds here, me repeating it. So the Acclaimed, right away when the match started, wrapped a chair around Darby's neck, and Darby was out on the apron. Bowens yanked Darby forward, and he went neck first with the chair right into the ring post, driven back into his throat. And Darby fell off the apron to the floor. Immediately, Bryce Remsburg called for the doctor to come check on Darby. They took Darby to the back. That left Sting all by himself at a disadvantage, 2-on-1. And Sting was holding things down for himself. He was beating both guys down all by himself the first minute or two. And eventually, though, the Acclaimed gained the advantage. Sting collided with an exposed top turnbuckle. They worked him over through the final ad break of the show. Back from break, Sting made a comeback. He locked on the Scorpion Deathlock on Max Caster. Here comes Anthony Bowens with this rolling discus forearm shot to the face. Sting no-sells it, stands up, but then Bowens rocks him with a kick, super kick to the face. And that kick sure did. Now, he no-sold the first one, but Sting didn't no-sell the second shot. And he went down. Ended up on the floor. Bowens hit Sting with a boombox on the outside while Caster kept the referee distracted on the inside. Here comes Darby Allin. You knew Darby was going to be coming back out. Darby comes like a bat out of hell, flying out of nowhere, out of the crowd, wherever he came from. Takes down the Acclaimed. Climbs up to the top, does a coffin drop off the top to the floor again, wipes out the Acclaimed. Inside, Darby only got a 2 off a code red to Max Caster. He had a couple of coffin splashes in the corner to Caster and applied a hanging guillotine. Caster, though, carried himself, even with this small man hanging off his neck. He stumbled over to his corner. He made the tag to Anthony Bowens. And Caster, after Bowens took down Darby, Caster came off the top with the mic drop elbow. Sting comes in and breaks up the pin attempt. Now, Sting leaves the ring. That's right. Thank you, Magic Dave. I forgot. Stink, as Andrade called him. Yes, I keep calling him Sting. That is incorrect. Walter is not the only one to get a name change. Sting is now Stink. So Stink leaves the ring, and he walks over by where the announcers are sitting. He's on the stage. And all of a sudden, Sting builds up a little bit of head of steam, and he does this running, diving crossbody, this running, diving splash off the stage onto Max Caster, who was hunched over the timekeeper's table. And Sting landed like right on the back of his head, not even his body. And both guys go crashing down through the table. So you have 62-year-old Sting doing dives, doing stage dives here in this match. This guy is a marvel. He is a marvel. He's asking for trouble by doing this, but I do appreciate the hell out of him. Look, I said at the beginning of the stream, it would be very easy for Sting to show up, you know, to kind of beat his chest and do the whole woo and do a couple of moves, do a couple of stinger splashes and put the Scorpion Deathlock on, collect his money and go home. But Sting out there looks like he's enjoying himself, and it's almost like he's got something to prove. Like, you know, all right, I'm an older man now and I can't do all the things I used to do, but I can hang with this new crew and I can bust out a dive every now and then. Soon we're going to see this guy doing what Dustin Rhodes does. We're going to see Sting coming out here doing, because everybody does destroyers anyway, so why not Sting, right? Hey, Ricky Morton is doing them. Ricky Morton now finally is the Rock and Roll Express about to call it quits this year. They're going on their retirement tour. Ricky Morton at 63, I think he is out there doing Canadian destroyers. So, hey, we may see the day that Sting is out there doing destroyers like everybody else does. In the ring, Darby hit the coffin drop to Anthony Bowens and picked up the win for his team. So Sting and Darby are victorious to end what overall I thought was an enjoyable show. I thought the show was fun. I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, if I had to give it a numerical rating on a 1 to 10 scale, you know, for this show, I'd probably go in the 7 range. Somewhere in there, I think. 7, 7.5 maybe. Somewhere in that range. I don't think I would go higher than that, though. Rampage on Friday has Jon Moxley. It is a live show. Jon Moxley against Ethan Page. Young Bucks against Roppongi Vice. Hook back in action against Serpentico. And Jade Cargill defends her TBS championship for the very first time against Anna Jay. Yeah, Mr. Dynamite, that 3 out of 5 sounds about right. Dynamite next Wednesday is the big Beach Break show. We have the TNT Championship on the line. Cody Rhodes is the TNT champion. Sammy Guevara is the interim TNT champion. They will meet to have one singular unified TNT champion. Chris Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz take on Daniel Garcia in 2.0. And a lights out, no disqualification, anything goes match. Adam Cole one-on-one with Orange Cassidy. The Twitter poll has tonight's episode at 77% thumbs up. And roughly 14% of you voted thumbs in the middle. And 9% thumbs down. So pretty much in line, I think, with the rating I gave it. Right in that 3 out of 5, 3.5 out of 5 range for tonight. At Solomonster is the place to go. I say it every week. If you want to vote in these polls or follow me, it's at Solomonster on Twitter, The Solomonster on Instagram. Let's go to your super chats. See, in celebration of today being the anniversary, we have a tribute Royal Rumble t-shirt here. I think this is a... This is a WWE license, probably, but I think I got this off, was it Homage or Chalkline or one of those websites? Anyway, let's check out your super chats. If you guys have questions for me, comments, anything like that, I thank you, by the way, for all the support. Every time you guys send in a super chat, it does help support the channel and the streams, so I thank you. We had a few from earlier, actually, during the Rumble stream. Shout out to everybody who joined me. We had a whole bunch of new channel members just sign up in the last hour. So if you guys are looking for the watch along, it is archived. It's about 90 minutes, the total video from start to finish. We hung out a little earlier. We were watching the 1992 Royal Rumble match, not the entire pay-per-view. But I did have a lot of interesting little facts and stories and personal stories to share, as some of you did as well. So that is up for channel members if you missed it earlier. and I give you the timestamp and everything so you can sync it up and start from the exact starting point that we started from. Jared M. with the $25 Hardy Monster Super Chat. Loved Moxley's promo. Cody, not so much. Yeah, I enjoyed Moxley's promo more myself. Short and to the point. Genuine. Authentic. Joshua Carlos, what is next for Mox? Maybe a program with Danielson. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was kind of thinking of it in terms of, you know, if Moxley was to potentially turn, but that was me thinking that Danielson might go back to being a babyface after the feud with Hangman. He might. You know, again, we haven't seen him since. I kind of hope he doesn't, because I was enjoying the work that he was doing, and I just think, you know, a heel Danielson in there against, like, Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara. There's still a lot of juice left, I think, in him being in that role. So I kind of hope that they let him go a little while longer as a heel. If that's the case, then Moxley would be the babyface. I don't see him turning right away. Yeah, I absolutely could see a Moxley-Danielson program. Tuxedo T Servo with the $5. I know you'll likely touch on this more on the podcast, but Gunther, what did Walter do to deserve this? He signed with WWE. When you sign with WWE, you know what you're getting into. You know they're going to change your name. You know that it's going to be an uphill battle. You know, I mean, it's, you know what you're getting into when you sign with this company. It's just the way that it is. Brian, the Green Boy. Do you see any star potential in Griff Garrison and Aaron Solo? Like a strong singles push for either of them years from now or no? I don't. Not at like a really high level. Not at the level I think that you're talking about. I think that they could definitely be, you know, kind of middle of the card somewhere in that area. JM with the 1992 Ric Flair Rumble Super Chat. Thank you, JM. I will get to your message here in a second. Actually, I'll get to it right now. This Super Chat should have a Sid Justice gif instead, because he was the last man standing. He would have been the world champion if it wasn't for Hogan pulling him out from outside the ring. Hogan showed his true colors that day at the Royal Rumble. The guy was a heel, always was a heel, masquerading as a babyface. I have said it for years. Joseph Brooks, $4.99. Buy or sell on which of these matches at WrestleMania would you have liked to have seen? Shawn Michaels against Eddie Guerrero or Daniel Bryan against Kurt Angle? That's a good one. That is a very good one. I'm going to have to go with Bryan and Kurt Angle. Of those two, I got to go with Bryan and Angle. Joseph also says buy or sell The Miz or Johnny Cage. Johnny Cage. Ryan Spies, $4.99. The only positive, I guess, about Gunther is it means we probably wind up with Danielson against Walter by the end of the year after they cut it. Griga, thanks for the name Ricardo Road Rage James. Oh, you're very welcome. I gave him his PayPal nickname on the podcast last weekend. So thank you, Griga. Marcus Robinson Johnson with the $15 Super Chat. What is going on, Marcus? Happy Wednesday to you. My three favorite things about the show tonight. Number one, Mox returning and looking healthy. Number two, Cody spitting fire in his promo. And Santana and Ortiz teasing leaving the Inner Circle. It's about damn time. Well, we can agree on that. We can agree on that. Rodimus Prime with a $25 Hardy Monster Super Chat. Good show tonight, but the biggest low point was Cody and his baffling promo. Nothing he said made any sense, and he had nothing to do with the TNT title. Again, very in the middle of that promo, very self-indulgent. You know, trying to... It just felt unnecessary. And I still think he's in that mode of trying to get people to like him, and so he's throwing some of that stuff out. It might work in the building tonight. I don't think it's going to play out that way in every city they end up in, though. Brandon Harbin with the 1992 Super Chat. Had to do this one on the anniversary of the Rumble. Said, if you can't do it today.
With a tear in my eye.
There's another one from JM dropping another 1992. Young JM came away from that Royal Rumble wanting to see more Sid Justice and much less Hogan. I was talking about this on the watch along earlier. Justice, when he came out, I mean, the guy looks like a friggin' superhero. Like, he's got like the permed hair, but he's like jacked to the gills. He's tall. Like, he was the physical embodiment of everything that you would think Vince McMahon would want in a champion. And it's kind of shocking that they didn't just put the belt on him and they put it on Flair and then Savage instead. But I guess Sid ended up leaving after WrestleMania anyway. Jeremiah Weigel with the $5 Super Chat, one of our new channel members. Jeremiah, thank you. Welcome to the family. Brian Anthony Rivers was there, and the crowd was hella hyped, especially for Moxley. Now, I wonder what the capacity is in that building, because, again, it looks like a building set up for about 4,000. It's a smaller building, so it'd be interesting if they run smaller venues on more weeks with the idea that they can pack those buildings in and sell them out instead of running NBA buildings, let's say, and having the building half full. It's kind of the same problem WWE has in a lot of markets. You know, WWE can still go into a market like New York or LA, and they could sell, you know, the majority of their tickets at the Barclays Center or the Staples Center, whatever the hell they're calling it now, the Crypto Arena. But a lot of cities WWE goes into, and they just, it's like pulling teeth, you know, trying to sell tickets. That's how you end up with one entire side of the building completely tarped and just blacked out. And I would not mind seeing WWE run some smaller buildings and try to just pack them in. That's kind of what they used to do many years ago. You go back 25 years, some of these buildings they ran, they literally were school, they look like high school gymnasiums. Now, I'm not saying they have to be that small, but, you know, when you can pack in a smaller building with a hot crowd, it's going to just feel like a hotter atmosphere. Ryan Spies, can't wait for TV Asahi to sue AEW for copyright after they use that Roppongi Vice against Bucks footage. Yeah, they don't fuck around. They do not mess around. You know, people give a lot of shit to New Japan about that because you don't see any New Japan gifts anymore. We had Wrestle Kingdom. We had technically three nights of Wrestle Kingdom. And you would be hard-pressed to find any gifts. There used to be gifts all over the place after the G1 and after Wrestle Kingdom. And it's not that New Japan is clamping down. And Kevin Kelly has talked about this before. He's gone to his bosses and said, look, stop sending these DMCA takedown notices to these people on Twitter and stuff on YouTube, but even just gifts on Twitter. They're trying to promote the product. You know, they're putting New Japan product out there and trying to create a buzz. It's TV Asahi. They're the ones. They just file these notices and they go after people and they take shit down. And it's sad because, like, nobody was talking about Wrestle Kingdom as compared to past years because nobody can share any of the gifts and the images. Because they're just so worried about TV Asahi coming after them. I don't know. It's been going on now for a couple of years, and they just won't back down. But I think that's doing more harm than not to their product. I think that's a terrible decision on their part. I really do. Magician Sapphire with the $10 Super Chat. If this Andrade HFO reunion, or union, rather, leads to Andrade usurping Matt, a rebranding for the HFO, writing Andrade and Hardy Boys reunion. If and only if Jeff is healthy and willing, I'll let it play out for a while. You can get to some of those things without having to do the Hardy Family Office stuff. That still doesn't account for the last 6 months of the Hardy Family Office. But absolutely, I expect there to be a Hardy Boys reunion this year in AEW. Writing Andrade, that's going to depend on Tony Khan. far as what he does with Andrade going forward. Brian Anthony Rivers, I heard something about go to the fridge. Regardless, screw that dude. Okay, so you're referring to the fan in the crowd. I was thinking, you know, for Moxley to react the way that he did, it was probably like a crack about get a drink or something. You know, whatever. Fuck that guy. Angelo Bellota, $3 super chat, or $4. Do you think Brian Pillman Jr. will ever go back to his version of the loose cannon that he portrayed in MLW? He is capable of much more than this. You know, I do remember that. I do remember I watched some promos with him, and I think it was Davey Boy Smith Jr. I kind of would like for him to go back to that character. He had the cane and everything. He was, you know, he was basically playing, you know, the character that his father portrayed. I do think at some point he should go back to that. You know, right now he's kind of that white meat baby face. When he goes heel, and he will go heel, I'd like to see him bring that character into AEW. Hey, Quintus Brown. What's going on, Quintus? Loose Cannon with the 1992. Enjoyed Dynamite tonight, but really enjoyed the 92 Rumble watch-along today. Thank you, as always. Well, it was good to see you in the chat. I was glad you were able to make it. Joseph Brooks, buy, rent, or sell on who is the most frustratingly wasted talent the WWE could have made special? Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, or EC3? You know, it's hard to rank them. They were all talented in their own way. They all could have been stars. I don't want to sit here and say they all would have been the World Heavyweight Champion. You know, all three had the potential, though, to be at that level. So it's hard for me to just rank one over the other. Just as a matter of personal taste, you know, I don't know. You know, I think that I would have probably had Keith Lee number one, EC3 two, and Cross at three. But they all had great potential to do so much more than what they did in that company, especially EC3. I mean, what they did with him was a fucking sin. I mean, it's just a sin. You know, some people are given the chance, they drop the ball, they bear some of that responsibility. What did EC3 do to deserve his push being cut off the way that it was? Tell me. I want somebody to give me an answer. Even the E-drones. I would love an answer as to what EC3 did after he was called up to the main roster that was so horrible that they just fucking buried him the way that they did. It's a shame because you can derail someone's career. There's no guarantee they're ever going to be able to recover from it. Corey Delcor, thank you for the $4 super chat. He says, F dirt. That's right. Like some of these people, I said they're dumber than dirt, and I apologize to dirt. There are some dumb people out there. Holy shit. There are some dumb people out there. They got fucking rocks in their head, man. Hulkling 93, do you remember Macho Man's promo in 98 on Piper? You call yourself an icon. I don't even know what that word means. Is that a bird? I don't remember that. No, I don't, actually. I don't remember that promo. But that sounds like something Randy Savage would say. I don't even know what that word means. Is that a bird? Oh, I miss the Macho Man. No cap, $4.99 super chat. It was awesome to see Dean return. Going by his WWE name, huh? Hope he's in a much better place. I don't know why, but fans try to get over in the most cringe ways now on live TV. Yeah, well, because they've been conditioned to feel like they're part of the show. And then they just take it too far. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of miss the old days where they just sat there and watched the show. Instead of trying to come up with ways to be part of it when they're in the arena. It's just a different world now than it was back then. JM, the 1992 Super Chat, Solomonster, with a tear in my eye. You've hit the nail on the head on what I think Cody's gimmick has been, playing John Cena. And ultimately doing what he thinks WWE should have done with Cena. Cyrus the Virus with the $7 super chat. Honestly, guys, I love Archer, but I don't want to see him lose another big matchup. Well, you're about to be disappointed because Lance Archer is not winning the championship from Hangman Page. So I guess we should just be lucky that they're doing anything with him. Right? All that time that went by, it seemed like they didn't know what to do with him. They didn't have a real role for him. You know, Miro went through the same thing. We haven't seen Miro because he's nursing an injury. Now I'm curious what they do with him when he gets back. Because Miro is great. They got to find something for him to do. Does he go back after the TNT title? Because it would seem to me like he would be the perfect kind of opponent for Hangman Page. You know, Page would beat him, but he did end up in the finals of the World Title Eliminator. So he could contend for the championship after the Archer program is over. Quintus Brown, good show tonight. Who do you have winning the ladder match next week? And who would you like to see get a shot at TNT title afterwards? Sky or Cole? Hook. I want Hook. You know, I say Hook. If you really pay attention to the MJF and the Wardlow story, and MJF mentioned it again on the show tonight, he wants Wardlow to go to the Face of the Revolution ladder match in March and win, and then go on to win the TNT championship so that he could give it to MJF. And I wonder, we keep talking about the split between the two of them. It's coming, it's coming. It's like fucking Veer. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Maybe it will come when Wardlow faces Cody for the TNT championship, if Wardlow is the one who wins the title from Cody, and then he refuses to surrender the title to MJF. Maybe that's what all of this is building to. But I still say you keep building Hook up bit by bit, keep feeding wins to him. You fast forward a few months from now in the spring, early summer, I'm telling you, that kid's going to be ready. If Cody is still the champion at that point, I think people will be dying to see Hook take that title. Hook or Wardlow? But as far as the ladder match next week, Cody. Cody, I don't see any reason for Cody to not win. If they're doing this big angle with him, I'd rather have Cody drop the belt to someone like that. I mean, I don't know. They put the belt on Cody just to take it right off him, and I don't know. I did, you know, hope that they would give Sammy more time with it, but do I see Sammy winning? I don't. I think Cody is going to retain next week. Cyrus the Virus, I must say, I'm glad CM Punk won in like 10 seconds. He says, made me pop and cheer. Sean Spears, Ethan Page, and MFO, I assume you mean HFO, are automatic channel changers for me. JM with the 1992, if Cody is not playing Cena, then he needs to rewatch that pipe bomb promo several more times and then learn about the art of breaking the fourth wall in a wrestling promo. Presumably with a tear in his eye. Thank you, JM. Don Juan. Did Solomonster say no cap? He part of Gen Z. That's the guy's name. His name is No Cap. Right? Is that what all the cool people say now? Original Project. 9 women on AEW television tonight. I want to know how you feel about the process of the women's division. Are you stating that because you still feel like 9 is not enough? Or you think 9 is too many? I don't get the sense there is much of a process to the women's division. I think Britt Baker is clearly the featured star. Jade Cargill is the one that they're building up. So she's got the other belt. We didn't see Thunder Rosa on the show tonight. Hikaru Shida now back in Japan for a while. Serena starting to get more TV time, so that's good. You know, I like that. Chris Statlander, I enjoy seeing her on television. I think she's very good, and so she had time to shine in the ring tonight. you know, a lot of the backstage segments with these women are very, very cringy. They're just not good. The Layla Hirsch one I thought wasn't too bad. I thought Layla came off well tonight. It's not like they don't have any stories with the women. You know, but I do think that if your point is that nine is too many, I mean, it did feel like they threw a lot of them on the show tonight, but I think a lot of people would look at that as progress because people are always complaining that there's almost no women on Dynamite. Well, you got a lot of them on the show tonight, right? You had Layla Hirsch, you had Chris Statlander, you had Red Velvet, you had Britt Baker, you had Jade Cargill, you had Anna Jay, Sky Blue, Serena Deeb. I would think that people would look at that as progress. Shaquille Oatmeal, thank you for the $10. Always nice to catch the stream live. I feel like Edge's comeback has been underwhelming. Say he went to AEW instead of WWE. How would you have booked it? Do you think he would have had a better run? I actually don't. I don't think he would have had a better run. I think the offer that was made to him, because Tony Khan made him an offer. It was for a wrestling role, but also a behind-the-scenes role. And as bloated as the roster is becoming in AEW, I don't think that Edge is, if he had gone there, I don't think that he would be getting more TV time than they have him getting now in WWE. I actually think he's getting more TV time there than he would here. So I think you could have gotten some good matches with him. Christian's there, so you could do something with Christian. But I actually think for him, the best thing to do is to stay right where he was. And he went to Vince and told him, and he got himself a sweet deal, you know, for a lot of money. A lot of money. And this is exactly what I predicted would happen. You're saying that you think Edge's comeback has been underwhelming. It feels underwhelming now, the stuff that he's doing with Miz. It feels beneath him. Last year, he was feuding with Bryan Danielson and Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. They had that great trilogy of matches together that culminated in the Hell in a Cell, right? At the last Saudi Arabia show. And boy, you go from Hell in a Cell in Saudi Arabia to the Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia. That's quite the back-to-back. So I don't look at that as being underwhelming. If you look at the year that Edge had last year, he won the Royal Rumble, and he had all these big matches and championship matches. I mean, I wouldn't call that underwhelming. So I actually think him staying in WWE was the right career move for him. Now, Big Show came over to AEW. Where's he been, right? He came over to be a wrestler and help out behind the scenes. They got him behind the scenes all the time. But from what I hear, he's, you know, physically, he's been hurting. So how much of that is... there were people in the building when he was a judge for the world title match a few weeks ago. Was that Newark? I think it was Newark. But there were people in the building that night who were watching him, like when he got up and left, who said that he was moving very gingerly and it looked like he was in pain. So I don't know if he's dealing with injury issues. You know, obviously he's getting older. He's a big guy. But... yeah, they got guys like him who came in probably expecting to do more who aren't doing anything. You know, would that have been Edge? It's quite possible. I don't know how happy he would be doing that. Jared M., $25 Super Chat. Love Moxley's promo. Cody, not so much. That's the one that I read from earlier. So thank you to Jared. Jared M. Drew Johnson. What's going on, Drew? Moxley's promo was awesome. I agree. Yeah, Hamwall, he got, I don't know if it was a hip replacement or he had some kind of, he had hip surgeries. I think multiple surgeries to shave down part of the hip maybe. I don't know if it was a replacement or not. He's had a whole bunch of surgeries though. So I don't know if that's just the way he moves now or if he's dealing with other issues. Of late, I don't know. But the only match he's had is the one with QT, right? Back It All Out. I think that's been his only match so far. Probably still waiting for the match with Shaq. I think he still wants to have that match. Shaq did say he's not done with AEW. He was planning on doing more wrestling. We just haven't seen him since. JM 1992 Super Chat. That's the one that I read from earlier, so thank you to JM. Hayden Penny just subscribed to the channel. What's going on, Hayden? I lift my mug to you, sir. Christian, $1.99. Rollins gets released tomorrow. Do you think AEW signs him? I thought you were breaking news to me here. I thought you were giving me a scoop. Seth Rollins is going to be released before his championship match with Roman Reigns. You know what? As crazy as these releases have been over the last few months, I wouldn't be all that surprised if I woke up in the morning and heard that he got released. If he were to get released, do you think AEW signs him? I think Tony Khan would jump at the chance to sign Seth Rollins. He's a great wrestler. Andrew Lima, thanks so much for the shout-out, dude. So happy you love the Brett Sprite. I got him right here. He's my buddy. I got my buddy right here with me. Me and Brett. How about this? We'll answer the super chats together. How about that? All right, we got Brett. There we go. EJ Slemp. I think your next watch-along should be Triple H against The Rock from Judgment Day 2000. Also, will you be reviewing The Batman on the podcast or here on YouTube? Well, you know, when I was in the WCW, and I wrestled all those years ago at the SummerSlam, I don't like that Triple H guy, 4 out of 10, although I don't wish ill upon him. I hope he recovers from his heart stuff. But Triple H against The Rock from Judgment Day 2000 should be the next watch-along. I would consider that. I would consider that. That's my favorite of the Iron Man matches that I've seen. And I don't know, the Batman, we'll see. We'll see if I see the Batman. Batman comes out in March. We'll see. Love my Brett Sprite here. Mr. Notorious Dez. I was a big Kerry Von Erich fan, but his WWE run fell flat after the Intercontinental title run. What are your thoughts on his WWE run? And if sober, do you think he would have been a main eventer? I mean, that's the thing. You know, he was always out of it. I mean, he was so fucking bombed out of his mind doing God knows what. If he had his head on straight, you know, he had the foot injury. And so I don't know how that might have limited him in terms of having longer, you know, matches and stuff like that. Cage matches, you know, climbing cages. There might have been certain things he wouldn't have been able to do physically. He should have been a bigger deal than he was, but he was his own worst enemy. I can't even say that I blame WWE. I mean, you know, the guy was unreliable. It's why Ric Flair's talked about it. When they put the NWA title on him, he had it for like 18 days. They couldn't keep that on him. He was completely unreliable, and that was back in, what, 84? You know, his problems only got worse after that. So he's really got nobody to blame but himself. I can't blame Vince McMahon and WWE for not doing more with Kerry Von Erich. But it's a shame because he should have been a bigger star there than he was. Drew Johnson, HBK is the GOAT. I know a guy who disagrees. We'll have to get Andrew to do another sprite for me. I'll have to get Andrew to do, although I would rather he do a sprite for you know, Macho Man or something. But if he did a Sean sprite, we would have Brett and we would have Sean. But I don't want to start giving him homework assignments here. Although I do love this thing. But thank you, Drew. Vince knew it. That's why he let Brett go to waste away in WCW. Man. Quintus Brown, $5 super chat. Buy, sell, or rent on what opponent would you like to see Okada fight against? CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, or Walter? Bryan Danielson. Drew Johnson, EC3, slept with Stephanie McMahon. So that's why he got buried on TV. I see. Well, that answers that mystery. Starting more internet rumors, I see. Uffman Entertainment, $5 super chat. It looks like he's like literally reading these along with me. This is great. With his little pink glasses on here. Uffman Entertainment, Canadian Stampede was on July 6, 1997. July 6 this year is on a Wednesday. As I said earlier, watch along for the main event. Well, I told you, when we get closer, remind me, and I would be open to that idea. But July is a ways off. I could barely remember what I have on my plate to work on tomorrow. I have so much to do. BG Thrilla, mocks all day. What do you think of the AEW haters trolls? AEW haters trolls? I hate all trolls. I didn't even like those troll dolls when those were a big thing, with the little gem in the belly and the big wild hair. Trolls are no good. Drew Johnson, Adam Cole will be the number one, will be the one to take the title from Paige Bebe. Cyrus the Virus, well, it was a little jarring, I will say. All right, let me put this. See how big this thing is. Look at this. It's floppy, too. Just afraid it's gonna snap off. Cyrus the Virus, the Rumble Final Four this year. Omos, Veer, Shanky, and The Miz. Well, let us hope nobody hears you talking about that. Deshaun Robinson, $9.99. Thank you, Deshaun. Hey, Salamazra, I was at Dynamite tonight, and I worked there for the WNBA and the NBA G League, but they host other events. The capacity at the Entertainment Sports Arena is 4,200, and it was 94% sold out. Yeah, that's pretty much what I figured. I said it was in that 4,000 range, and I knew they were either sold out or almost sold out. So thank you, Deshaun, for filling us in on that information. Getting the details here on the stream. I appreciate that. Loose Cannon. Buy or sell on the better WWF Championship run, Macho Man Randy Savage in 88 or Ultimate Warrior in 1990. Savage in 88 was money. Savage was money in 88. And I know Hogan came back and they were telling the story with the Mega Powers, and so it made sense for Hogan to beat him and everything, but you could have gotten more time out of Savage. I mean, they really wanted to. You could have dragged that out to SummerSlam if they wanted to, with him as the champion. I mean, Savage business held up very well in Hogan's absence with Savage as the champion. So by far, the better run was Randy Savage. If you're looking at it from a purely business perspective, but I think even just overall, Savage easily. Better run with the championship. Naif Al-Safar, thank you, Naif, for the $9.99. We saw Naif earlier, I think just prior to the Royal Rumble watch-along stream. Food Hive! What is going on, Food Hive? I was worried you weren't with us tonight. At work, so I can't make the stream. Well, there you go. He's not with us tonight. That answers that question. Well, now I am sad. But he says he had to stop by and show the sound off some love. What's up, chat? Be safe. Follow Food Hive on all platforms. That's right. That's FOODHYVE. Food Hive. Don Juan, who's coming first, Veer or Wardlow in the MJF split? Oh, the MJF split will come first. I think Veer, at this point, they've just embraced the absurdity of it. And they're just going to keep him off TV until people just get bored. And then they'll debut him. And when he debuts at that point, nobody will care. And he will not get over. And then he will end up being cut. So it's this vicious cycle in WWE where people like this will end up just having no chance. And it's not their fault, but they will have no chance. They're going to run this into the ground until nobody gives a shit. Debut him. Nobody will give a shit even still. And then ultimately he will be cut. That's the way it works. King Bling Blah, $4.99 super chat. I feel like Rampage is just exhibition matches. How would you... Well, all wrestling matches are exhibition matches. It's not real. How would you make Rampage more of a captivating show week after week? Is Rampage lacking lately? It is. It is. But it was... See, I said this. They called Rampage the third hour of Dynamite. I heard Tony Khan and people saying that before Rampage debuted. That they wanted that to kind of serve as... Let me just turn the music off for a second. They wanted it to serve as sort of a third hour of Dynamite, in a way. Some weeks it is, but most of the time it's not. It's pretty much been reduced to what we thought it would be, which is a secondary show. It's like what Sunday Night Heat became in WWE. It's what Thunder eventually became in WCW. It's the same idea. Thunder at first, right? They were having big names on there, and they wanted it to be a big deal. Even Bischoff knew that it was a terrible idea, and it was going to water things down, and it did. And Thunder became the very definition of a secondary show. That's what Rampage is. It's not must-see TV. And as far as what do you do to make it must-see TV, the only way to do that is to put big names on the show and put more championship matches on the show. But you can't do that every single week as far as the championships go. You could put more big names on the show because there's so many people who aren't even getting television time. Why is Andrade not on Rampage more often? Right? Why are some of these other people that we don't get to see as much, why not put them on Rampage? You know, I don't want to sit here and say that AEW needs a brand split. I'm not ready to embrace the idea of a brand split. I don't think it's necessary. I think you can almost have an unofficial brand split. And what I mean by that is you can have certain people who will appear more often on Rampage than they would on Dynamite and vice versa. Instead of you know, having, let's say if you have Adam Cole and you have Darby Allin and you have some of these names that we're used to seeing on Dynamite every week, you know, maybe they don't have to be on Rampage as much. Maybe you do leave it for some of the other names that aren't getting as much TV time, but are big enough names to where, you know, you would want people to feel like they're tuning in. They have a reason to tune in for the show. You got to give people a reason to tune in. Friday night is a tough night. There's no doubt. SmackDown airs on Fridays and does 2 million viewers most weeks, not every week. But they're on Fox. That's number one. Number two, they also air in prime time at 8 p.m. So now you're doing a cable show at 10 o'clock on a Friday night. So you're already at a disadvantage. You're never going to get a million people a week to tune into Rampage. I mean, they can't even get a million people a week to tune into Dynamite. So that's a pipe dream. That's just not going to happen. I don't think that there is, you know, a way right now to make Rampage a must-see show every single week. You know, you can build every few weeks to a really big episode of Rampage, but Rampage is what it is. It's, you know, it's a secondary show. They may not look at it that way, but that's how I look at it and a lot of people look at it. That's what it is. So, you know, Rampage going to 2 hours... You know, you could do that, but again, does that make it must-see? Just making the show 2 hours does not make it must-see. So now you're adding an hour. How are you filling up the extra hour? What are you doing in the extra hour? Are you just taking people from Dark and putting them on Rampage? That doesn't sound must-see to me. What are you doing with the extra hour? I like Rampage in an hour. I like Rampage in an hour. It's an easy watch. Now, if the show moves to a different night, I might be more open to a two-hour show. But it would have to be in a better slot. 10 o'clock to do 2 hours from 10 to midnight is just not something I have an interest in. I'm sorry. Dr. NXT Scorpio, $15 super chat. Didn't watch tonight, just here to support. Also, I just remembered I don't have Netflix, so I wasn't able to watch that foreign show you told me about, but at least I have Tubi TV. I hope they have some decent selections. I believe they do. Liquid Sharingan, $10 super chat. I know you don't want any more belts in AEW, but I would rather see... Well, I have talked about Trios belts. But I'd like to see a U.S. title in AEW. Cody has go-away heat with me. And if he squats on the TNT title, I would like another title for others to shoot for. Cody is not going to be the TNT champion forever. I don't think we need more singles titles. Trios belts I'd be fine with, but for now I think we have our limit of singles titles in AEW. I don't think we need more. Drew Johnson wants to know, am I going to take some of the Super Chat money and bail Sonny out of jail? Well, Sonny is out of jail at the moment, I believe. She is not behind bars. I believe they released her for now. Until she inevitably ends up behind bars again. We'll see how her case shakes out. MR, $5 Super Chat, says, I am dumb as dirt. No, you're not. You've got to have a little more confidence in yourself. Liquid with another super chat. Oh, and the Cassidy Cole feud does nothing for Cassidy. He's not nearly every time they've been in the ring. I don't know. I think you misspelled something there. Seems like he's a main event jobber. Well, I mean, Orange Cassidy is not. What do you expect? I mean, he's been pretty well protected up to now in AEW. And he's not going to be challenging for the championship. So I don't have any issue with them using him to put over people like Adam Cole, who have a higher ceiling than Orange Cassidy does. Good morning to Nir, joining us in the chat all the way from Israel. Nir, what is going on? Just sent you a message back earlier today. I hope you're doing well. Drew Johnson, Rampage is the new Shotgun Saturday night. Still enjoy it. Love Shotgun back in the day. I did too. I kind of wish I went to some of those shows. They did the first few shows in New York. First one was at a club called the Mirage Nightclub. Then they did one from a place called Denim and Diamonds was in Texas, I think. They did one from Penn Station as well. That was where Undertaker, Tombstone, Triple H on the escalator. But there was another one. I think the second place they ran. Was it the All-Star Cafe? I think it was the All-Star Cafe. I wish I had been to some of those shows. You watch them back. You could find them. Some of them are uploaded on Daily Motion and places like that. Those are fun. That was an idea Vince McMahon had. That was an idea of trying something different. That was an idea to try something out of the box and something fun and something a little edgier. And I just wish that, yeah, they're so big now and they're so corporate and I don't know. I just feel like they don't take chances like that as much. You know, they don't try new things like that in the way that they used to when they were a lot smaller. And I guess they had the freedom to do that sort of thing. But now they make their billions and I guess they're just happy with the status quo. So. That's why we need other companies like an AEW to try stuff like that. You know, GCW, I'm looking forward to watching them in the Hammerstein on Sunday night. What kind of atmosphere? One of the most fun pay-per-views that I've ever seen. And I wasn't even a huge ECW fan back in the day when they originally ran, but watching ECW One Night Stand in 05, most fun I've ever had, I think, watching a wrestling pay-per-view in that building, in that venue, in front of that crowd. If only I could have been there. You know, when Enter Sandman started playing and everybody was singing along and the Sandman was making his entrance. Amiibo watching Curb and Seinfeld. Larry David is a comedic genius. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And Devin from NJ2000 with the $5 super chat. Do you understand and agree with WWE not wanting to create new stars so nobody becomes too big for their britches? I've said that before, Devin, on the podcast. Where have you been? I've been saying that for a few years now. They don't want anybody to be bigger than the brand. The brand is the star. WWE is the star. Now, there are going to be people like Roman Reigns who will eventually go to Hollywood and do movies and stuff, but I don't believe that they are interested in having a star that is so big. You know, their ego gets out of control or they just get so big that they kind of leave WWE in the dust. Everything is about the brand. I agree 100%. It's a different philosophy than I think they would have had 20 or 25 years ago. It's all about the brand. Drew Johnson, ECW One Night Stand was awesome. Best Paul Heyman promo ever. And we learned that night why Triple H didn't want to work Tuesdays. We did indeed. We did learn that night. We learned a few things that night. That was a fun show. I'm just thinking back to some of the other stuff that happened. It's too bad Rob Van Dam was hurt, because that whole thing was his idea, and then he got hurt with his knee, and he couldn't even wrestle on that show. But he got his moment the year after that in the main event, right? One Night Stand 2 against John Cena. All right, so we are caught up on your Super Chats. Don't forget to like this stream and subscribe to the channel if you are not already subscribed. Make sure those notifications, that little bell ding-a-ling, there it is. Make sure that bell is in the on position so that way YouTube will alert you when new clips go up, when I go live. I know sometimes YouTube doesn't and it shits the bed and it doesn't alert you, but most of the time I think it works. When YouTube is working the way that it should. Uh-oh, there's that burned fiend on my screen. Look at that gory mutilation. We have a man being burnt, well, a doll, but we have the image of a man being burned alive. But apparently that's okay in WWE because the person wasn't actually being burned, even though that's what they're portraying on TV. But apparently that's acceptable. Women in the ring bleeding, though, that's unacceptable. But having an eyeball popped out of your skull, that's okay. That's all right. Because it didn't actually happen, so therefore it's okay. EJ Slemp, $4.99 Super Chat. Do you ever think Stone Cold will make a one-time appearance in AEW if he doesn't renew his Legends deal like Bret Hart did at the first Double or Nothing? Well, never say never, but he's got his broken skull sessions with the network, and I just think he's kind of like Shawn Michaels, where Vince will do whatever it takes to keep him under some kind of contract and pay him whatever it takes to retain him. So no, I don't see Austin making an appearance in AEW. But I do know someone who is going to be making an appearance. In fact, I know of a few people who are going to be making an appearance in the WrestleMania main event. I just don't know who those people are going to be, but we're about to find out.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Because it is now time, indeed, to be the Booker. We do this every week. We book the WrestleMania main event. We still have Super Chats coming in. We got Drew Johnson saying, Nier is the GOAT. Stay strong, my friend. Solomonster, your channel is awesome. Thank you for everything that you do. Well, thank you, Drew. And I agree that Nier is awesome. Nier is the GOAT. And in his battle with the Big C, we are all wishing him the best. I told him to keep me posted with any and all updates. And Devin from NJ2000 says, I meant, do you agree with that philosophy? Let me scroll back here and... Okay, so it was about what we were just talking about. I thought that was in reference to something else. No, I don't. I don't. I don't agree with that philosophy. I think right now, especially, they should be trying to create as many big stars as they possibly can. Andrew, boy, we got more. All right, let's do this. I will read these messages that are coming in, but let's do Be the Booker, since I have it up on screen. We will start with the men's WrestleMania main event and see what we come up with here. Again, if you are new to this segment, this is completely random. I have no idea who or what this is going to land on, but we book a men's and a women's WrestleMania main event and see what kind of match we end up with. And look at who it is. It is the almighty Bobby Lashley, who is challenging for the WWE Championship next weekend. Bobby Lashley in the WrestleMania main event is very believable. Who will he be challenging? Let's find out. It will be Bobby Lashley against the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, wearing in this image the same robe that he wore to the ring 30 years ago today. Although now it's after midnight, so technically 30 years ago yesterday. In the 1992 Royal Rumble, I would call that a winner. I gotta call that a winner. Bobby Lashley and Ric Flair. That's kind of perfect timing there. Perfect timing on that one. Well, this is usually where things fall apart here. When we go to the ladies, just some of the people that are in this, GIF. I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, there's AJ Lee, but let's see. Let's get this thing going, see who we end up with on the women's side. We end up with Natalia, who has told us on television numerous times in recent weeks that she is in the Guinness Book of World Records. She has, I think, the most pay-per-view matches and the most this and the most wins. And Let's see here. I don't know about this one. Let's see. Natalia one-on-one against Jacqueline as a main event at WrestleMania? Sorry. That don't work for me. Not that it couldn't be a good match, but that is no WrestleMania main event. I'm sorry. Sorry. That just doesn't cut the mustard. Andrew Carroll with the $5 super chat. How long do you think Bruce will last running NXT before he is fired? Then who do you think could replace him? I have no idea who could replace him. I don't even know who's left in that company at this point. I don't know. Who would even want the job? Sure, it pays well, but to me, it's not worth all the stress of working for you-know-who. No, I don't think Bruce is going anywhere anytime soon. I think he knows exactly how to play the system. There's a reason why he's been able to come back and he spent so many years there, because he knows Vince McMahon better than anybody else. He knows exactly what he wants. He knows exactly what he likes. Vince is not going anywhere because, you know, I mean, Vince's mother, I think, is 101 years old. This guy's not going anywhere anytime soon. His mother is still alive. Mother is older than Betty White. That's going to be Vince. As long as he's around, I think Bruce will be around. MR, I'm dumb as dirt was the funniest joke you've said. I'm a Seinfeld guy. So am I. Seinfeld over Friends. I've never seen a single episode of Friends. So when I had a couple of people, you know, posting those memes, Gunther, apparently he was the barista, the coffee guy or whatever, I had no fucking idea who that was. I'm like, no, as a matter of fact, because they're trying to throw it in my face like, oh, the name Gunther apparently upsets you. No, you fucking moron. If you pay attention to what I'm saying, I'm not saying that the name Gunther was the issue. I was referring to the trademark application, but I legitimately have never seen a full, complete episode of Friends. I've seen clips. I know who the main characters are, right? Phoebe, Ross, Rachel. Who was the other one? Who was Arquette, his wife or ex-wife, whatever. Courtney Cox. What role did she play? What was her name? I've never watched Friends. So I would not know Gunther or Gunner or anybody else from that show. I know there was a coffee shop called Central Perk, because I've seen memes. I know that. I've never heard the smelly cat. Oh, Monica. That's what it is. Monica Chandler. Yes, Monica. Thank you. Thank you. The smelly cat song? No, I have no idea what that is. I have no idea what that is. Hulkling 93. Nothing wrong with Cole beating OC, but I can see Liquid's point. In mostly every interaction OC and the best friends have had, they've been wiped out. Well, good. I mean, I can't say they're one of my favorite acts on the show. I don't care. Doesn't bother me. I'm fine with that. And Nier says, no, at Drew Johnson is the GOAT. Much love. Ed Weber, $5 super chat. Buy, rent, or sell. Buyer when WWE sells NBC Universal. Fox. Oh, wait. When WWE sells. Okay. Who's the buyer? NBC Universal, Fox, Disney. I still say NBC Universal would have the best shot at it. Probably in that order, NBC Universal, Fox, or Disney. I think Disney, it's very unlikely they would buy the company, but I would say in that order. I would buy, sell, and rent in that order. Austin in the chat says, isn't Fox owned by Disney? I don't believe so, but my God, I mean, the way that media consolidation these days is just, it's just out of control. I don't know who owns what. Oh, this is one of our new super chats, the Bobby Lashley tongue. Thank you, EJ. That's one of the random ones. I don't have a number assigned to that one. EJ says, I am a huge Friends guy. Anything with Jennifer Aniston, I am a fan of. I will watch Seinfeld too. The actor who played Gunther died of cancer, so rest in peace. Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. But I can honestly say, before yesterday, I didn't even know that there was a character on the show with that name. Drew Johnson, HBK is better than Brett, but Friends isn't even in the same ballpark as Seinfeld. Well, that we can agree on. That we can agree on. Few shows are. Few shows are. Chris Underwood. Oh, there's the Nia Jax hole super chat. Do you all miss Nia Jax's hole yet? She's been gone for a few months. Do you miss her? Because I completely forgot that she was even gone. Chris Underwood, $4.99. Only 6 broken skulls in tonight. Really enjoyed this episode of Dynamite. Great stream as always, good sir. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, so Liquid says, Disney does not own Fox broadcast channels. They bought 20th Century Fox, which did not have the TV channels like FX or FXX. I can't wait for the debut of FXXXX. What a fucking stupid name for a channel. Eric says, it's always sunny in Philly stinks. Never saw a single episode of that either. My brother loves that show, and I have a friend who loves that show. I know Roddy Piper. I know he was on an episode once. I've never seen a complete episode of It's Always Sunny. Austin says the trash man. I'm thinking of the ass man from Seinfeld, right? The doctor with the ass man license plate. I was thinking about getting that as my license plate. WWE EV says, love the show, good man. Keep up the fine work. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoy it. Well, Dinosaurs was a favorite of mine. I used to love Dinosaurs, not the mama and the baby. Chris says, I showed my friend one of your videos and she said that you looked 25. Well, tell your friend that I said thank you. That makes me feel good. That puts a smile on my face. What do you call a doctor who fails med school? A dentist? Let's not upset the dentist now. When you're in that dentist chair, the last thing you want to do is upset the dentist. You want to make sure that they're in a good mood. It reminds me of, there was an episode of Married with Children, and then we'll wrap up here, but there was an episode of Married with Children, which is like the greatest show ever. I fucking love it. There's a Married with Children official YouTube channel, and they just post new clips every day. It's fantastic. And there's an episode where Al goes to the dentist, and he's terrified. He's so scared of the dentist. And he's sitting there and he's got like a little balloon, I think, or a stuffed animal or something. And the dentist takes a liking to him. And he goes, you know what, Bundy, you're a swell guy. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I won't go too deep. You know, and if there's any pain, you let me know and everything's going to be fine. And, you know, before the dentist goes in, he gets a phone call from his wife or soon to be ex-wife who's divorcing him. And he's got like this, I think like a baseball card collection or something. And he's arguing with her. She wants the cards. And the only reason she wants it is because she knows that he likes it. And he gets really angry. And Al's in the chair and he goes, oh, doc, like the Novocaine, it's like it's wearing off. And the doctor snaps at him like, shut up, Bundy. He goes, oh, I'm so mad. He goes, I'm so mad right now, I'm shaking. And as he's shaking, he's approaching Al. He's got this look on his face. Ed O'Neill was so underrated for his facial expressions on the show. My favorite episode of all time on Married with Children is with the green aliens, where the little green alien Martian men come and steal his socks for fuel. I think it was like a Halloween episode, I think. But oh, fucking hilarious. Hilarious. Andrew Carroll says, what? You're nearly 40. Are you a vampire? No, I'm not a vampire. John Moxley was the one on TV tonight talking about drinking blood. Shayna Baszler took a bite out of Becky Lynch one time. I don't think I'm a vampire. I just try to take care of myself. That's all. Ty says Ed O'Neill is underrated in general. Dude had many levels. Yeah, he's great. Anytime I watch like an interview with him talking about Married with Children or whatever. Yeah, he just seems like a cool guy, you know. And he's got like I don't think it's judo, but he's got like his karate belt. I think he's a black belt. Like he's very proficient in that. But just like his sense of humor and yeah, he was in a movie many years ago. I don't know if he was already filming Married with Children. It might have come right before, called Dutch. It wasn't like a very popular movie, but it was a movie called Dutch. If you've never heard of it, look it up. You might enjoy it. Sirloin says, Salamaster was in The Brood. I guess I was. I could have been in that movie Twilight. I would have loved to have gotten a piece of the action from that movie. I heard it did very well. Yeah, he is. Ed O'Neill is a BJJ black belt. Drew Johnson says, Salamaster, send us off with a willow. I do enough with the willow. Jay Baker, if you're ever in San Francisco, drinks on me. I'll hold you to that. I don't have any West Coast travel plan, but I will hold you to that. Near had a crush on Christina Applegate. I think we all had a crush on Christina Applegate. Robert Pattinson is awesome. Twilight ruined his rep. Well, we're going to see how awesome he is, right? He's the Batman now, right? He looked pretty decent in the trailer, but I guess we'll find out when the movie comes out what kind of Batman he makes. Yeah, Groovy Goose, thanks for the reminder. He says you're 10 years away from being eligible for double AARP. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me of that. I appreciate that. I'm gonna go cry into my pillow now with my Brett Sprite here. he'll keep me company. Well, anyway, let me again say thank you to Andrew Lima if he's still with us. This is a very cool gift. I thank you for this, and I thank you all for joining me both streams. Again, all the channel members who joined for the Royal Rumble watch along earlier, that's up. You missed it, you want to go back and watch it. And everybody who tuned in tonight with me for the Dynamite stream, I'm going to be back with you live on Friday night. We're going to do the SmackDown Rampage double review on Friday night. So as soon as Rampage ends, a little after 11 o'clock, come on back. We'll be live on Friday night. And again, Sunday will be episode 740 of the Sound Off. And then later that night, GCW, their first pay-per-view and their debut at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City, big main event, Jon Moxley, defending the GCW world title against Homicide. The Briscoes have an open challenge to any tag team, I believe, on that show. Matt Cardona has been doing this whole angle with him and Chelsea Green and Joey Janela. They're going to be facing off on that show. I think Jeff Jarrett is supposed to be on the show. Going to be a lot of stuff going on. My first time covering a GCW event. So if you're around on Sunday night, do come join me. Oh, we got some more super chats here. Don Juan. What do you call a guy's favorite thing with his girlfriend that starts with M? Oh, good Lord. I'm not reading that. You're incorrigible. And Drew Johnson, $5 super chat. Solo Monster, what is the best movie of all time? My favorite is The Dark Knight. Ed O'Neill played for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1969. Is that true? I didn't know that. Did Ed O'Neill play for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 69? I know he scored 4 touchdowns in 1 game for Polk High. I know that. But I did not know that he played for the Steelers. I knew that Fred Dreyer, who was on that TV show Hunter. Hunter is one of my favorite shows from the 80s. I know he played in the NFL. And actually, he was going to be cast in the title role on Cheers. It went to Ted Danson, but I think he auditioned for it. He ended up having like a bit part on the show instead. But I know he played in the NFL. That I know. He did. Okay, wow. He did play in the NFL. 69, yeah. Drew Johnson. All right, Red Drews. Andrew Carroll. Man of 1,000 holds. The list. The inner circle. What is the question? BRS, man of 1,000 holds, the list, inner circle. Is this some kind of like Morse code? I don't know who you're referring to. Dean Malenko and Chris Jericho? I have no idea. Near says, have you ever eaten shawarma? I have not. No. Although when I used to hang out with friends late at night, they have the carts in the street with all kinds of food. And I would have friends who would eat that all the time. I've never had shawarma. Oh, okay. BRS. Look, you got to, with these acronyms, sometimes I have no idea what they mean. BRS is buy, rent, or sell. Okay, so buy, rent, or sell. Man of 1,000 holds, the list, or the inner circle. I guess we're talking about the versions of Jericho. Honestly, Man of 1,000 holds was more entertaining than the other two. I'd probably go Man of 1,000 holds by. I would say the list would be sell or rent, and then sell on the inner circle. And Drew Johnson, this is a good one to end on here. He says, all hail the Solo Monster. You're the goat, my friend. And that is a super chat to end on. Drew, thank you. And everybody else, thank you as well. Have yourselves a good night. Come on back Friday night. And again on Sunday night for the GCW live stream. I'm out of here. I'm tired. I'm going to get some sleep. You should do the same. Take care, guys. I'll see you on Friday night.